Joe Cordell's voice is heard on KMOX frequently. We're happy about that. He's a proud sponsor of the Voice of St. Louis. But I also am driving in Boston. I hear your commercials out there as well. You're around the country now.
We are. We have actually 70 or so offices. We're probably the largest domestic relations firm in the country.
And you have, of your clients, 98% are men.
Yeah, about 98%.
What gives with the 2%? Why would women go to your firm?
Well, I think there are a couple reasons for that. One is that some of them get referred to us by former clients who speak well of us and are really sold in our skills, so they come in that way. And then others, I think, are just really cunning and figure that, gee, you know, these guys know what's going on the other side of the table, and who better to have represent you? So,
are most of your clients more concerned about custody or alimony or support or what?
We probably the largest group of our clients are people who are especially ambitious to play a large role in their kids' lives. So there are dads who aren't prepared to settle for alternate weekends, some weeks in the summer, so they aspire to a much larger role.
Are you able to craft any inventive agreements?
Well, I mean, we believe that by focusing on one side of the table, that allows us to develop skills and other processes that allow us to have a higher level of success. Yeah, we believe that. And also, I can tell you that part of the problem is that attorneys get sucked into this sort of mentality that pervades the entire system. And that's, you know, assumptions that are gender-based.
That women should have the custody, generally.
Yeah, generally. And that stereotype has not gone away. And it's still, when you think of all the civil rights movements we've had, all of which have been positive in the last, you know, 40, 50 years, you know, the dark corner of the room is men's civil rights, particularly when it relates to the role in the family. They're regarded too commonly as simply the people that dispense the money after a divorce, and that the children are handed over to mom to raise and care for.
Judges still have this view?
Yeah, and I want to be careful about suggesting it's unanimous. I mean, certainly there are many wonderful judges out there, but yeah, all too commonly, this perspective pervades the system. And not just on the part of judges. I mean, there are a lot of professionals involved in this process, so it's the institution as a whole.
So what are some of the mistakes people make going through divorce that harm themselves?
Well, where do I start? I guess I would mention one thing that guys are prone to do, and that's that the moment that they look like they're facing divorce, their wife and he and their wife maybe have a disagreement, the wife points toward the door, and as if he's the family cocker spaniel, you know, he packs his little bag and leaves. And you know, rather than taking the position that he has as much right to be there as she, and it may make sense for him to move out once he talks to his lawyer and they talk about what his goals are and a bunch of other factors, but for him to simply reflexively leave when told is often a mistake, especially when 6 months or more later he wanders into a lawyer's office and says, gee, was that a good idea?
Why is that a bad idea to move out?
Well, it depends on the goals. Not necessarily bad, but often it is. If the guy wants to have primary custody, for example, then by his actions, he's communicated that he believes that mom is a perfectly capable and perhaps even preferable primary caregiver. That's one factor. Another is that he loses control and access to documents and records and some other assets. It may be that he wants to live in the home at the end of the day.
What about the use of social media, Joe?
Social media has really spiced up domestic relations practice, I can tell you. The things that are discoverable now would have been only in the fantasies of a lawyer in the 80s. I mean, where you have direct quotes, you know, typed or even videotaped, whatever. Things that even the best private detective couldn't have fantasized about obtaining in the early 90s even.
So in other words, those are fertile fields for attorneys.
Fertile fields. And in fact, you know, outcomes of cases tilt on the basis of things that are discovered.
Without giving any identities, can you share a situation where that was the case?
Well, we had, there's so many examples. One is we had a mother or wife who, you know, the client had been concerned that she was determined to waste the money that he was ordered to pay her in maintenance. And she said, no, I need all this money. And she submitted all these financials about this, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month she was going to need in maintenance. The judge buys it. And thereafter, she promptly goes home, goes to Facebook, I think was the site she was using, and she puts in how she's she refers to it as her Sam's card, and she would simply open all the windows, cut the utilities on, and you know, cut it up to maximum air conditioning in the summer. I mean, this was, you know, everything she could do to waste it, and she chuckled about it, and she created this long email laughing about this.
So then you guys saw that and were able to use that to reduce the amount of money that she was going to get.
Yeah, and judges tend to resent it, particularly when they see, you know, direct quotes that, you know, there's no denying those.
This is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell, 70 offices across the land. Are you based here in St. Louis?
Yeah, we are. We started here in St. Louis in 1991.
You're a graduate of the University of Texas Law School.
Yes.
And you're originally from southeastern Kentucky.
That's right, near Knoxville, Tennessee, actually.
Would you mind taking some phone calls?
I'd be glad to.
All right, it's 436-7900, 800-925-1120. I know that divorce is ubiquitous. What's the latest? One out of two marriages ending in divorce, Joe? Something like that?
Yeah, it hovers. The statistics are hard to get because they're not. There's no national place where they compound those, but probably 50 to 60%, I would estimate.
60% even.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So, by the way, are you married?
I'm happily married.
Ever divorced?
I was divorced, let's see, when I was 26 years old.
So you do speak from a little bit of experience here.
I've been through the process, yeah.
And how many cases would you imagine you've covered as an attorney?
Oh, man, I don't know, 1,000 plus. But it's interesting. Our firm has probably had, you know, 30, 40,000 cases, I'm guessing.
All right. So if you have a question about divorce, perhaps it's in your life right now. I don't see how you could pose a question to anyone with better knowledge than Joe Cordell, who's our guest today at 436-7900 and 800-925-1120. Now, this might be you or your spouse. Could be your kids are going through this right now and you've got a question. I think, Joe, before we break, a lot of people can't believe how sometimes these cases go on and cost so much money, even into six figures. Does that sound about right to you?
Well, it does, and I get that frustration. As a matter of fact, as a firm, something that we were working on, we call it our Manhattan Project, but we're trying to develop a way to have a flat fee divorce, and it's really tough. I mean, I think that your listeners can understand, even without being lawyers, that the problem with the flat fee is that it's really an incentive to further conflict, further interaction, further litigation. And so there is a built-in check when the client is being billed based on hourly time. And it's a way for the attorney to know that there's compensation that is proportional to each particular case.
Let's go to Patrick on line one. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. I've been divorced almost 2 years now. I went to Cordell & Cordell and got some advice, paid for that. I went to three different attorneys and hired the one I thought was best for me. But every attorney had told me, because I filed for a divorce, everyone told me, don't be surprised if your wife don't get an ex parte order on you. And I say, for what? I've never done nothing. And that actually did happen. She went and got one when she found out she was getting served. They kicked me out of the house. And for absolutely no reason, just, you know, made up stuff, but it didn't stick. But that, you know, that actually costs more money, and that happens a lot, and I think that is totally wrong.
Have you heard of this, Joe?
Oh, I mean, orders of protection are just horrendous. They're almost like a battlefield nuclear weapon, but they're only available to one side of the table in divorce. And once that's lobbed across, the implications of this allegation, I mean, a mere allegation that there's some vague fear of possible physical harm, takes very little to go down and get one of these issued. It suddenly means that the guy's out of the house without a hearing. This is an ex parte order issued. He may get a hearing in 2 to 3 weeks, and the implications for his job are huge. He can't own a firearm. Some careers will be forever closed to him. I mean, the ramifications are huge, and attorney fees he's probably going to get tagged with at the end of the divorce. The court is required to consider this as a factor in the awarding of primary custody, which means it can sink that boat. I mean, it's really a horrendous abuse that is happening, but it's only, as a practical matter, available to one side of the table and not the other.
Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell is with us today. We're going to take a break here and come back with more phone calls. 436-7900. 436-7900, and then 800-925-1120. Borrowed that one from you. And what is your phone number? What,
725-0000.
All zeros, all zeros, yeah. That's what they used to call the gang I hung around with in high school. All zeros. Well, we're talking divorce today, and Joe Cordell is giving us an hour of his time. He's with Cordell and Cordell, and I know that this is an issue for many of you, and you've got questions, and I've got one. Let me ask you this. Friend of mine getting a divorce, but before my friend found out, the spouse who apparently wanted the divorce went around and talked to every attorney in town about the divorce, then announces the divorce. And so by the time my friend goes around shopping for an attorney, every attorney had a conflict of interest. Couldn't deal with them because the spouse had already met with those attorneys. Have you ever heard of this happening before?
Yeah, it's not uncommon. Thankfully, it doesn't happen in every other divorce. But yeah, there are, you know, various theories that I think are distributed among these counseling centers or whatnot where they come from. But I can tell you that whenever we come in to meet with a lady client, prospective client, you know, there's always that question hovering in my mind, certainly, and I think many of our attorneys, that you know, is she trying to disqualify us from representing her husband? And occasionally that's right, but as we indicated, 2% of our clients or so are women, so you know, we meet with them as we otherwise would. But yeah, there are abuses like that.
Interesting. Let's get some of these calls, including this one from Susie. Hi, Susie. You're on KMOX.
Hi, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question to you would be, how do you feel about a law that would require a judge to impose 50-50 shared parenting if parents don't come before the court with a pre-approved parent plan, pre-agreed-upon parent plan, to two fit parents, that would be, and that a judge that handles family court cases would receive 3 hours of training in parent alienation annually?
Sounds like you've thought through this proposal. But, you know, actually, I'm a big fan of 50-50 custody. And I'll concede to my opponents that there are exceptions. You know, there can be logistical issues where the parties live, you know, incredibly far apart or in different school systems that to where there's something prohibitive. But absent that, I think that there should be a very high bar for a court to not award a 50-50 custody schedule. It simply makes sense to me.
Is this a proposal somewhere, Susie?
Actually, we are right now trying to push two bills through the state of Missouri. One's a House Bill 1131, and one is Senate Bill 565.
Very interesting. And who do you represent?
Missouri for Shared Parenting.
Missouri for Shared Parenting.
Sounds like a great organization. Good luck to you.
I'd love to have you on board.
I would be interested. Why don't you contact our office at Cordell & Cordell and just mention that you talked to me on the radio.
What is that number again?
725-0000.
All zeros. Louise, you're on KMOX.
Well, it's Lewis.
I'm sorry, Lewis.
And I don't know if we go in this on air. Our son was severely depressed and attempted suicide 3 or 4 times, and he came to live with us after the hospital let him go. And then his wife hit him with a restraining order, and she wanted custody of the children. And when we went to court, she hit him with divorce papers. And we don't know what to do. It's just frustrating, and he's only going to get to see him for like 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday until the court decides what to do.
Well, and was there any basis at all for the order of protection, to your knowledge?
Well, he had a transitory thought when he was being admitted to the hospital. They asked if he had any harmful thoughts towards the children, and he said once he did. But he never acted upon it, and so they're holding that against him. He's very candid, and he's not devious or cunning, so he didn't realize what jeopardy that put him in.
Yeah, and, you know, usually in a case like that, rather than to minimize, you know, a problem or deny a problem or try to explain it away, sometimes the best approach is the opposite, and that's to take the bull by the horns, to concede that, you know, if there were bad decisions or if there's some treatment that needs to be done, because it gives your son instant credibility to the court. It indicates that he's acknowledging there were some issues and he's taken steps to disarm them or to make them irrelevant. And then have a sufficient time between that first appearance in court and maybe hopefully as much as a year before the final appearance. And then during that time, do a lot of all the things you need to rehabilitate.
Boy, it just breaks your heart, doesn't it, Joe?
Yeah, I wish you the best.
Hey, Margaret, you're on Cam Wex. Good morning.
Good morning. My divorce went through back in 2008, and my problem is within this past year, my ex has become very slow in his payments. Right now, he's about 3 months behind. And is this a common thing that happens? And how do I best handle rectifying it? The divorce took place in northern Illinois, and I'm now living in the St. Louis area. And so I've hesitated any court action because I feel like I need to return to northern Illinois to take care of the matter with my same lawyer. How do you suggest I go about handling this?
No, actually, you can do this without hiring a private attorney. I mean, there are agencies whose job it is to help you enforce your child support, and those interact, they coordinate well with other states. So the Division of Child Support Enforcement of Missouri, if you actually submit a claim that you've not been paid this money, then through the machinery that they have with the state of Illinois, then they will generate. Now, it's a process that, you know, is not going to move immediately. I mean, you can have it fast or free, but probably not both. But if you have the time, it will allow you to get the money, and you will get the arrearage, and you'll get interest.
Thanks a lot for your phone call, Margaret. We sure appreciate it. And we'll take more at 436-7900, 800-925-1120. Joe, what's your situation?
Yes, hello, and thank you for your timing. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Yeah, Joe, I got a question for you. I have a son who works. He's living with this girl, and she also works. They've been together probably, I'm thinking, a little under 10 years. They have a 7-year-old little boy between the two of them, and they're not married. It's gotten to a point where they don't even talk to one another. And I'm just curious. I'm talking for my son. What are his directions to go in a scenario like that? What would be the repercussions if they go their separate ways or whatever?
He's not married. They have a 7-year-old.
They live together.
Yeah, you know, he's at a disadvantage because, you know, the record's clear, legally and otherwise, that mom is a parent of this child. But there's not an official determination by the state of Missouri or any other court that your son is also a parent of this child. So right now, if push came to shove, she would be able to function with all the rights of a parent, and he would not. Now, he might be considered a presumptive parent at this stage, and I won't get into the details of that, but the bottom line is it's not going to put him in the standing to have the authority over this child that he should have. He really needs to proceed with a paternity action. Once that gavel goes down, he's fully empowered, just like mom, with all the rights of a parent. In the meantime, he's very vulnerable. She could take the child and just go.
Joe, we're getting, thanks a lot for your phone calls, Joe. And Joe, we're getting the timeout sign. Can you stay for another segment for more calls?
Sure, I'd love to.
All right, it's 436-7900 and 800-925-1120. This is Joe Cordell, and we're getting calls from men and women today, although 98% of Mr. Cordell's clients are men. Well, if divorce is part of your life right now, or it might be, and you'd like to pose a question because you've got a problem, or you know somebody that does, like our last caller, Joe, it's 436-7900, 800-925-1120. Right now, it's Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell, 70 offices across the land, but based in St. Louis. What about college? In the divorce agreement, does one have to pay for the kids' college, Joe?
Generally, college is addressed as part of the divorce process. It can be negotiated, or the courts can go ahead and issue an order. Typically, there will be a modification because, you know, as time passes, incomes change, ratios of income, circumstances of the kids. So often there will be a modification that will come along in the year or two before age college. But yeah, until the kids are emancipated, there's a continuing obligation to provide support, and generally that will include college if that was the party's joint decision.
Let's get back to some of these phone calls, including this one from Jim. Jim, you're on KMOX.
Hi, good morning. Hey, quick question. So I did get a divorce 2 years, 2012, and I used Cordell & Cordell and everything went very well. Of course, sometimes you have like, well, why did I do that, right, or agree? Mm-hmm. It has to do with maintenance or what do you call it, alimony. We used to call it alimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I agreed to a certain amount every month, and I'm retired military, plus she's getting that 34-35% of that. So now I'm going through, and I'm like, man, you know, I am just like struggling, right, to make everything meet, made all my payments, all that other stuff, and also this extra money. Is there any way could I ever go back and say, you know, this just isn't working? And at the meantime, she's not working. She stays at, moved in with her parents, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair question. Let me
respond to that. You may be able to do something depending on the way that the decree is worded. Typically, maintenance is modifiable. So a typical maintenance order that a court issues is going to be in effect until it's modified. And the courts now prefer to issue what's called rehabilitative maintenance, the purpose of which, as the word implies, is to get the, more often the wife, on her feet and being self-sufficient. Occasionally, maintenance will be in effect for a long, long time simply because the divorce comes along at a point where maybe the wife is 50-plus years old and she's been a homemaker for 25 years and rehabilitation just may not be realistic in the court's mind. So depending on the way this agreement is worded, it may be modifiable and terminatable, or it may not. So I hate to give you a vague answer, but until you get it in front of an attorney and allow them to look at it, you know, really we can't answer it for sure. But I do hope that you can modify it, and there's a chance that you can, depending upon that wording.
Thanks a lot for your phone call. Let's get to Tim. Hi, Tim. You're on KMOX with Joe Cordell.
How you doing, Joe? I have a question. Me and my ex, we had a very civil divorce. We have shared custody of our daughter, and we're very open with everything. My ex has become what we would call depressed, I guess, and been battling depression. We kind of knew before we even had the child that there was a potential for postpartum depression, so forth like that. And but in 2012, she did try to commit suicide, and back in January, she was telling me that she thinks about it all the time. And of course, you know, I'm currently in a relationship now with an RN, and she's like, well, you got to report this. If you don't report this, I'm going to have to. And so, of course, you know, I agreed with her. We called DCFS and everything, but they didn't do anything. And so I'm kind of concerned, you know, because my baby sister, you know, just one day walked into the garage and took her own life just about 4 years ago. Hmm. And so it's one of those kind of things where it's, like, okay, I take the matter very seriously, but at the same time, you know, when I call DCFS, they just look at me like I'm just a crackpot ex-husband. You know, I'm not trying to get custody away or anything like that, but I've been trying to see what my options are about making sure that my ex is getting help with dealing with her issues.
Yeah, and I can tell you there's a lot of that stereotyping that happens with DFS, but getting to the substance of your question, how old are your kids?
My daughter will be 5 in July.
You know, 5 years old, that's young. That's very vulnerable. Technically, what the DFS is to do is if something comes to their attention that could result in abuse or neglect or harm to the child, then they're supposed to investigate it. You and I don't really know what, if any, investigation they did. It sounds like it was very little. But I can tell you that you have the basis, perhaps, for a modification. In order to do a modification of your current custody arrangement, then you file a motion to modify, and you state, as changed circumstances, this psychiatric condition. And I think that you're likely to get more attention from a court, perhaps, than you are these people in this agency. But I agree with you. It sounds like something that behooves you to take some sort of protective action.
We only have about a minute to go, so we'll try and sneak Richard in and then let Joe Cordell move on his way. Richard, can you be brief and to the point?
My son is 18. He turned 18 last year, and I wanted to know how long do I need to keep paying the child support.
Well, what is your son doing now? Is he going to college?
He's finishing high school, and then he'll start junior college.
And he'll be starting college full-time?
Correct.
Yeah, well, what you need to do is you need to file a motion either to terminate the support if he becomes emancipated, and it sounds like he's not going to be emancipated. It sounds like he's going to continue into college. And then you're looking at the issue of college costs. Were those referred to in your decree at all?
I don't recall, sir.
Yeah, you need to pull out your divorce decree and see if there's any requirement for you to pay college costs. If there's no reference to it at all, then you're still left with the issue of emancipation, but at least you can go to an attorney and then see if there's a way to have those proceedings pulled.
But you start by reading that document.
Yeah, see if college costs are referred to in your decree.
Thanks a lot, Richard, and thank you, Joel Cordell, 314-725-ALL-ZEROS.
Yes, thank you, Charlie.
Thanks a lot. Very interesting, and perhaps we can do it again sometime if your interest, energy, and availability all make one perfect storm.
I'm always available to come on your show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Tomorrow, Rick.